You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, Teddy Lee Knox. Good afternoon, Teddy.
Hello, Jesse. How are you?
Wonderful. We are talking a hot topic, tariffs today.
Two hot topics.
In particular, tariffs and their relation and impact on LTL shipments.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to define LTL right off the bat. But first, we're going to bring in a special guest, Curtis Garrett, the CEO of Rate Hero. Curtis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you both doing?
We're wonderful. We're all jacked up on caffeine. We're bringing you in here into the podcast. We're excited. But I'm going to define LTL, and then you're going to correct me because you are
the LTL overlord.
You talked about it, LTL overlord. So LTL to me, in my 17 years plus of transportation, less than truckload, less than load, one pallet to probably, 12 pallets of shipments can ship typically on a hub and spoke model, which means it would be picked up in one region, taken back to a terminal, maybe go to a final destination terminal, and then delivered out with other shipments from that delivery terminal, if you will. How awful was my description, or what else would you like to add?
No, you nailed it. And the magic words hub and spoke, you know, it speaks to the network attribute about the mode, which is really the reason why that a carrier can pick up one pallet in Columbus, Ohio, where you guys are sitting, and send it out to California for only a few $100. Because obviously, you know, to send a truck and a driver 2,000 to 3,000 miles costs a lot more. So they're picking up a whole bunch of freight in your area and then consolidating it as they, you know, both where they pick it up, but then also as they move across the country, which keeps the cost down. And there's a whole lot of freight on their trailers, eventually sharing the cost of that transit. And there's a lot of, you know, special services involved. LTL carriers can pick up and deliver at a variety of different locations. There doesn't always have to be a big commercial dock, big warehouse scenario. There's a lot of residential deliveries at times, small mom and pop shops, restaurants, hair salons. So it's pretty nimble and flexible mode. I've said in the past, there's kind of the expectations of, you know, the strength and capabilities of truckload, because you do have LTL shippers that will put, you know, several pallets of really heavy freight of say 10,000-20,000 pounds on the trailer. But then kind of the nimbleness and flexibility of parcel as well.
Yeah.
Where that same carrier is also expected to pick up and deliver a treadmill in your neighborhood.
Right. That's a really good description of it. I like that. The additional elements. So specialty services, hint, hint, wink, wink. Those are all just included in the initial quote that you would get, right? They never charge extra for those.
Hopefully. We always hope for that.
Yeah. Lift gates and things of that nature. Inside delivery. I know we've had white glove services in some of my time dealing with like mall deliveries, or one of my favorites is like city deliveries. Or, you know, going into New York or a borough, right? That's always a fun wrinkle. Like the truck only has to be 20 feet long. It can maybe has to go up 6 flights of stairs.
And a freight elevator.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Always very fun.
I've been to some LTL terminals in the New York City metro area. And the equipment's definitely catered to that. A lot of smaller, lower trailers. And the drivers all seem to be a lot fitter, too.
So yeah.
It's definitely a different breed up there.
They're hustling. I like that. Okay.
I'm really excited that we're going over this topic, because I feel like, you know, going through LTL and explaining some of these differences and talking about, you know, even the word choices that you use with LTL.
Mm-hmm.
For this, you know, specific topic, talking about tariffs with LTL, LTL carriers also have tariffs of their own. So I think this is where it can get a little bit confusing. Not the same thing, but it's a very, you know, it's a similar word, where tariffs can impact the LTL carrier's tariffs and agreements with, you know, vendors, shippers, but also retailers and where they're going to. So I think that that's something really interesting to be able to go through, because even though this is such a versatile mode, it can also be one of the most misused or misunderstood.
Sure. And a lot of the carriers are likely updating their own tariffs, you know, as they react to these broader economic tariffs right now. So there's definitely a closed loop to that. And then to your point, Teddy, like any mode or industry really that is so capable and so broad and can serve so many different types of customers and shipments, it gets harder to kind of categorize and regulate, because you can basically dump anything into their networks. And so that's ultimately why there are so many different tariff rules and accessorial types. Like, you know, it's not like it's a very simple, unified vertical of business they're in. So it is complex. They're herding cats, basically.
I like that comparison a lot.
That just triggered, too, to me, like the different types of products shipping on the same truck as well. That's always you talk about herding cats. I mean, to think of a drum of orange juice concentrate ships next to a treadmill, ships next to a pallet of packaging solution or whatever. I mean, it really is kind of hitting all ends of the spectrum.
Absolutely.
All right, let's define the LTL tariffs. That's a great call out. Curtis, explain the difference. Well, you don't have to explain the difference, but explain LTL tariffs and what we're talking about there. To me, that's around pricing and, like you said, accessorials. Anything else you want to expound on?
Yeah, I guess to further confuse things, there's really kind of two types of tariffs within an LTL perspective. So there's the rules tariffs, which are probably the most commonly talked about, and that's essentially an individual carrier's rules, like rules, terms, and conditions. So that's anytime they've run into a new situation, or you know, gotten burned in a sense, or become, you know, unprofitable, they think of a new term and condition to basically account for that situation going forward. And that's why they're hundreds of pages of small fine print, very very tough to read sometimes. But that's the rules tariff. And then a pricing agreement or a pricing program is also, it can be referred to as a tariff as well. And that's typically more just the actual math behind the pricing, you know, when it comes to the base rate, which is made up of the zip code pair, the weight, and then the freight class of the shipment. So yeah, plenty of tariffs everywhere.
Tariffs everywhere. So transitioning into the broad economic tariffs that we discussed. So I believe it was April 9th was Liberation Day, if I'm not mistaken. So we're almost in a month into that here in 2025. It was announced by the president, you know, tariffs essentially on most countries that we trade with, in international trade, ranging from, you know, 10% all the way up to, I believe the highest is 145% was with China right now. So, but there's been a 90-day pause, correct? For some of them?
There's been a whole lot of changes.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So can you just run through it real quick? No, I'm kidding. But essentially, you know, there's either a trade deficit or some sort of perceived unfair advantage that other countries are taking of the United States, whatever you want to call it. We're not here to discuss that. But nope. Essentially, there's a tax or a tariff coming in from freight being imported into the United States. And so that we're going to talk today about how that is going to impact LTL shipments in particular. Mm-hmm. So, Curtis, as the LTL overlord, how do you see that when that is going to trickle down to the LTL mode?
So because of the network effect of LTL carriers, where there's a lot of fixed cost, you know, and especially the current time we're in, where a lot of these big LTL carriers in the past 2 years since Yellow's closure have just spent hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, expanding their networks for the future by buying up terminals and equipment and assets that Yellow basically put up for sale when they went bankrupt. So this has come, you know, very shortly after a period of high investment and a lot of capital expenditure dollars being spent by these carriers. So I know for a fact that they're very, you know, they're paying very close attention to the potential freight volumes in the coming months. The only maybe silver lining is that LTL is probably one of the modes of transportation that's somewhat downstream, you know, not necessarily the last one to feel it, but I kind of think of it as, you know, right now, current state, I'd say there's a lot of buzz and discussion about the number of containers and the traffic in and out of the ports,
yep,
you know, in these global areas. So I've seen live camera shots of like, hey, here's today with this port in China, and here was the same port a year ago. And the difference in just truck traffic with containers rolling in is pretty astounding. So that's, you know, that's going to have the most impact on the ocean liners and the number of full containers that they're hauling across the ocean. And then when they get to the US port, it's going to impact the drag carriers next, who are basically, you know, pulling their chassis into the ports, getting those containers loaded on them, and then bringing them to container shipping stations and warehouses,
mm-hmm.
and or maybe just pulling them through the country, you know, to take them to the Canadian or to the Mexican border.
Right.
But that's kind of the secondary effect. There's a lot of more immediate impact, I think, to the truckload industry, because you do have a lot of truckload carriers that kind of play in that dray world as well, and tend to get their hands on larger amounts of freight, you know, quicker, as soon as or shortly after they come off the ocean liner. So LTL is a little bit downstream of that, but definitely not immune to it. I would expect, you know, if I had to put a number out there, with the distinct, you know, shrinking volumes we're seeing in this global freight and the number of imports coming into the U.S., it's going to very acutely hit the LTL industry in, I would say, at least a month, probably 1 to 2 months. And that's a real thing. Like, you know, when you have all these terminals and local pickup and delivery people and equipment and trucks that can't just be parked like a truckload carrier, you know, if I'm a truckload carrier and I don't have enough business to haul, I still have my insurance payments and maybe a truck payment and different things. But if my equipment stops moving, you know, I'm not burning fuel. I'm not inducing wear and tear on my vehicle. I can kind of freeze or pause a lot of the activity-based costs
mm-hmm.
involved with my business. But LTL is just not that way. That, you know, there's people at all these hundreds or thousands of terminals across the LTL carriers showing up for work every day, wanting to be paid. You know, it's a typical Monday through Friday full-time job. The trucks, you know, need to be moving because they're always out in the cities and the metro areas of whatever market they're in, doing whatever number of pickups and deliveries they have. So it really becomes a question of how imbalanced does the LTL network become. And it's commonly believed that a balanced network is just the best scenario from like a service side of things and transit times. And a full network or an overly full network is not great because carriers get behind and transits are longer. But there's also a lot of proof out there showing an emptier network is actually not great either. And it also adversely impacts service levels. So yeah, I would say all in all, you know, if things don't change course with the current path of the tariffs and just companies in the U.S. halting or buying lesser goods to bring into this country to then distribute, it's definitely going to hit the LTL industry pretty hard in the next month or two. I don't foresee any of the current LTL carriers, you know, if you look at the top 20 largest carriers who do control most of the market, I don't foresee any of them closing down. I think everyone's still in a pretty healthy spot despite a lot of these recent investments, but it is going to impact them. And I'm sure there will be, you know, layoffs at a lot of these companies.
And couple questions. One, most of those carriers you just referenced would you consider them national carriers?
Either national or like most of the top 10 are truly national. Mm-hmm. And then 10 through 20 are like larger regionals or super regionals that are covering multiple states.
I gotcha. And then touching on the service aspect of it. So in my mind, I used to work for a home delivery transportation company, and I think it's similar to LTL. So we're in Columbus, like you mentioned, and so Dayton is roughly 60 miles away, right? So let's just, for argument's sake, I don't know if this is a fact, but let's just say Dayton is serviced by an LTL carrier on a schedule, right, typically, and they would deliver to Dayton from Columbus on Tuesdays. I guess in theory, if there's not enough volume to support driving a truck 60 miles out to Dayton every Tuesday, then all of a sudden that now comes to every other Tuesday or something like that. So now, is there a potential that those types of delays would happen? I know that's a very, very simple breakdown.
No, absolutely. Yeah. For those further points that are serviced by, and Columbus is a good example, Dayton, not to call you out, but Dayton typically has its own terminal as well. But if you look the other way, like down even into parts of West Virginia,
right,
and Eastern Ohio, there's not a lot of, you know, bigger cities out there that would be able to support their own LTL terminal. So I actually used to be a driver for Old Dominion out of the Columbus, Ohio terminal for a year. And yeah, there's plenty of times that I was, you know, 60 to 70 miles east or southeast of Columbus. And so if you're spreading more of these random and kind of further apart, you know, customer stops, whether it's a pickup or a delivery, across potentially fewer drivers, all the while, think about this, that the customer constraints are not changing. They're not getting more flexible. So if I'm a shipper and I have one pallet this week instead of 20, like I typically have,
right,
my open and close times of when I allow carriers to come in and get the freight are probably not changing. It's still the same, like 2 or 4 hour window in the afternoon, but it's typically the carriers that are going to have to flex and kind of do more with less. And if you think about, you know, famously UPS did that study years ago where they figured out that right-hand turns were quicker and saved them a lot of time and money. So they tried to pack their driver routes as dense as they could with as many like bang to bang, you know, very close together stops, so they could just do these little circuits and loops through different parts of town and only turn right, not have to wait for left-hand turns. And that's the way a network, you know, ideally should run, is a lot of stops close together,
right,
with a high density of freight. So if the late, you know, the density of your pickup and delivery locations is getting more sparse and you've got more drive time in between those stops, but you still have to try to hit those same constrained, you know, pickup and delivery windows, then yeah, you're going to end up missing pickups and deliveries more than you would if you had more freight and more trucks and drivers out there in the market.
That's super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any particular, I don't know how an LTL carrier would divide up the sections of their business, but do you think any section of the business is going to be hit differently? We talked about treadmills, or maybe it's not product type, maybe it is those specialized delivery services.
I don't know if we, you know, if we should think about it from a different types of services perspective. I think more the product types and the verticals.
Yeah.
You know, definitely in the retail vertical, where there is a lot of goods manufactured in China and other parts of Asia that now are a lot more expensive for these U.S. companies to purchase and bring in. So I've read quite a bit about, you know, what the store shelves, the average retail store shelf might look like 2 to 3 months from now as they kind of get a little emptier. So, yeah, I think it's going to hit the retail sector, which, again, based on everything we just talked through, if lower volumes in an LTL network potentially means, you know, more challenges on the service side and more kind of fine tuning and working with your carriers, I mean, it really, really would assume, you know, make the assumption that working with an expert on the retail side of logistics is the best way to go, instead of just, if I'm a shipper and, you know, I'm buying less, I'm shipping less, but I still have those same expectations of my carrier, it probably won't work out as well.
I keep going back to thinking about the retail shelf. So, and thinking about inventory as well. So we saw a lot of people panic buying again. Everything. They don't know where it is imported from or produced or anything, but these are the things that they have on, you know, and they're staples. So they go out and they make sure that they have them because they don't want someone else to take the last, you know, case of beverages or food or whatever it might
be. Are you speaking from experience?
Oh, no, not at all. But like thinking about how we work with a lot of customers to get to the point where they start out as these just-in-time shipping models, and then they continue to grow and grow their shelf space and go to more of a, you know, truckload model or maximizing their truck space or pallet space. But I keep thinking about, you know, how inventory is impacted by, you know, where your products are coming from, produced, getting ready to be shipped, and going back to that just-in-time shipping model, which LTL is so amazing for. So I'm keep wondering if it's going to be kind of back to a more of a model where they have to have these 2 to 6 pallets shipping consistently to make sure that things stay where they're supposed to, rather than constantly going back and forth between, you know, tariffs are on, 90-day pause. You know, it's back again, 90-day pause. We are not going to learn. We're going to continuously go out every single time and panic buy the Pop-Tarts and make sure that we get them all, you know, where they're supposed to be. So I feel like that's going to impact kind of how those models look for the retailers. And I also wonder if that's going to impact some of the, you know, grocery store retailers that people work with that deliver to the stores versus going to the store directly. That's kind of what I'm interested in. And I think both of those things thrive on LTL. LTL is needed to make that work. Just my thought. I know there's not like a question or anywhere to go from there, but that's just where my head's at right now.
Well, in terms of preparation, you kind of touched on it, Curtis. Is there anything that... we're with a 3PL, right? We're with Zipline, a 3PL. You're obviously work with LTL partners as well as 3PLs. Anything that we can do to prepare for some of these challenges?
Yeah, I was going to say, my mind was wandering towards Pop-Tarts for a second there.
Yeah,
sorry.
I reeled it back in. I think, so you're right, Teddy, that we never learn. None of us ever learn. We always kind of react and make these knee-jerk assumptions based on what we're seeing and hearing. Of course, everyone's mind goes back to the pretty recent, you know, COVID era as well, with a lot of that sort of panic buying, and then deserts, you know, on the store shelves and kind of the lack of available products. So I think the best thing that any 3PL or shipper in the LTL world can do is just what they should be doing, you know, even during good times and easier times, which is lots of communication, proactive communication with their LTL carriers, try to help project volumes, you know, in the coming weeks and months as best as they can. Don't try to take advantage of the situation, be a good partner, you know, like just let the accurate business level, shipment level data, you know, really tell the message. And share as much of that as you can with your carrier partners. And there's no silver bullet. There's no looking glass or any way to see the future. And especially in this current, you know, pretty volatile state of a lot of these tariffs changing pretty rapidly day to day, week to week, country by country. Yeah, it's going to be a bit of a wild ride. I don't want to sound too doom and gloom. You know, we kind of highlighted what potentially could happen with with service falling. I mean, I do think at the end of the day that, you know, those larger, whether it's national, regional, the top 20 or 30 LTL carriers are going to be in a good spot and well positioned to handle this and keep providing the best service they can. But there are some potential just gaps in, you know, consistent shipment volumes and communication around that could make it more challenging for them. So the sooner they have accurate, you know, lead times and future shipment information, ideally at least a couple days before something's going to move and not, you know, quoted that morning and wanting a pickup that afternoon. Those are all ways that one in the real time, like in the here and now, you're just going to see better results from an LTL transit and service side of things. But it's also a way to really strengthen your relationship with the LTL carriers and, you know, kind of see things through with them so that when things do get better and their networks are full or even over capacity, then maybe you're not the company that they're coming to for a huge pricing increase, you know, because they remember the year before that you kind of stuck it out with them when things were a bit tougher for them.
Curtis, that's an excellent summation. I think we talk about it on every single episode of our podcast about communication and partnership in particular. And that was a great call out. I'm thinking now of kind of the day-to-day role of, hey, I'm in Boise, Idaho, or Boise, Idaho is big, but I'm trying to think of a small place in I don't want to say the word, but yeah, Nowheresville, USA, and I need to get my pallet of this picked up immediately. What the heck? Why is there not a truck just idling around the corner, right? And that's the expectations, and it just doesn't, unfortunately, it doesn't work like that, and it's definitely not going to work like that as we see these challenges coming down. But I echo your sentiments that typically we find a way, especially in logistics, to figure it all out and to knock it out of the park, right? That's kind of our jobs. So I am bullish on figuring out real-time solutions over the next probably quarter or so, especially through the summer months, as we wait until some of this stuff kind of gets more solidified. I think that's also something that's, it could change pretty quickly, right? And be a new path forward. So Fingers crossed for that, and then we can drive some more stability. But Curtis, thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything else you want to end on? Or
no, I appreciate you guys having me. It was a good chat. I mean, we all just need to stay curious, stay positive, and don't forget the basics. Keep executing on the communication and partnership side. And really, it makes me think of kind of the value of a 3PL in times like this, where they have a bit of a higher level view of aggregated, multiple customers, shipment data, probably some tools and connectivity that are built to allow the carriers to see into that more so than maybe just an individual shipper might have. So yeah, I'm bullish on LTL even through this. And I know Zipline's doing some awesome things on the data and reporting side of things with your tools as well. So thanks again for having me, and great talk.
Thanks
awesome, man.
Here.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you to our listeners. Please like and subscribe. Leave us a review on Apple and Spotify. We were talking with Curtis Garrett, the CEO of Rate Hero. My name is Jesse Jewett. Teddy Lee Knox sitting across from me. See you next time.